of the love the world has for its own, to save those who should die. They tell you that they own the world. There really is no way out. Ezekiel lied, but the truth is that Yahweh is gone.
Yes, Yahweh is God. That's right. There is a God. And that's good to know that there is a God. And good to know this... these two channels that I have, just so I can do the Google talk today with Govinda from Sri Lanka, I have to bring the music in on another channel, and it's good to know it works.
Yeah. I will even rend it with stormy wind in my wrath, and there shall be an overflowing shower in mine anger and great hailstones and wrath to consume it. Who said whoa to the women that sew pillows upon all?
Yeah, that's from Enoch Yah, Ezekiel's final warning, based on Ezekiel chapter 13, and you can get that at CD Baby, cdbaby.com. And type my name into the search engine, and Enoch Yah will come up, and the new one, Zeph Daniel 1. There's only one of one left. Thank you so much for, buying them all. I do appreciate it more than you know. It's, not easy when you're competing against the big machine, and they have all this money for advertising, and you're just saying to, people, even though we have a show and everything, and I can tell you, please pick up the CD. It's funny how many people are programmed to get a CD, including myself, to go get a movie from, the video store, buy a CD from the CD store, the approved of pat on the head, little slaves that say, yes, master. And then they give them a recording kind of a movie or whatever. And we go support those, don't we? We all do it. I'm just bringing some consciousness to it because, obviously there's a lot of great independent artists. And like I said, just even around me, the kind of people that we've had on the air, and other musicians and ones you know about that are doing music, or really just totally spiritual music and without the taint of corruption. But I understand all human beings are capable of rising above their state of corruption. Well, I've got Govinda on the line from war-torn Sri Lanka, and we've got to go there right now, all the way into the Indian Ocean and just south of India. Govinda, how are you today?
Hey, how you doing, C?
Wow, the signal coming in off this Google is just unbelievable. I've got to actually turn it down a little bit.
Yeah, actually, I can hear myself.
Yeah. Okay, I'm trying to adjust it now. Yeah, we've always had, it's got kind of a high-end issue where it's sort of, maybe it's my EQ setting on the earphones, although I don't know that they have an EQ setting on the earphones, but it's a little bit hot. Anyway, this is fun. Are these on? Mm-hmm. No, they're not on. Anyway, so, okay, faithmix.com. Everyone, you can go to faithmix.com and hear Govinda speak, and you're doing a good job with your podcast, with your broadcasts.
Oh, praise God. Yeah, we've got some real good support back in the States with Daniel, so he's doing a great job over there. So, is the speakers in the studio on there?
No.
Okay, I'm just wondering why I keep hearing myself. Okay, it's gone now.
Okay, I turned down your feed a little bit.
It's great now. It's perfect now.
Perfect now, but we're going to reset the board a little bit so that... obviously, and then push this up. Yeah, it's a different setting for a Google interview. It's a different setting for a phone interview. And obviously, mm-hmm. I use the mixer as well for music. which is a completely different setting. So I have to remember, because I'm really lazy. I like to leave everything with one one setting and then just go from there, because I got enough other problems. But yeah, I have to say the Mackie, what is it, 16-channel mixer. They say it's a workhorse. It's there for you. I've spilled coffee on it, wine on it, everything else. Wine, yes, I've had wine on occasion while sitting here with the mixer. But no, you're doing a great job, and I got the. I just want to hit you with something.
Sure. Go ahead.
How would it be if I brought my microphone over there?
You can bring it. I don't know what we're going to plug it into, but sure, we can give it a shot.
No, you know, I'll bring my little mini PA system, and we can have a talk with people.
Sure. Sure, why not?
Do a little preaching in Sri Lanka. I know that, you know, there's two things going on. I want to get your opinion, you know, just with internet, the internet world of ministry, let's say, of serving the Lord. On the one hand, you have people that are very concerned, and we have been too, but now in a very general way, very concerned with the state of apostasy, as it were, of the others out there doing the same thing, and for good reason. I mean, we've been burned a lot, you know, Trish and I, and I know we all have. You know, people that they say they're one thing and then it proves to be another, but then you let them in and then it gets to be a mess. That never really happened to me until this Christian thing came up. You know, until this. But then that makes sense, right? Because that's where the real war is, you know, the real battle.
Yeah. I mean, the worst hits I think I've ever taken have been people that have called themselves Christians. So that's par for the course.
Yeah, it's part of the battle. And it would make sense because Satan wants to make his headquarters in as close to Jesus as possible. Mm-hmm. So inhabiting, you know, those who are weak. But I mean, I'm just reading on, was going through people's sermons today, and it's like, there's a whole, I think, wing of people that really hate us because they're saying, you know, and I think, or ministries where healing is going on, where there's, the Holy Spirit is moving, and then they're calling it now false anointings. Beware of, like you could get healed, but it would be false. You could get a healing, but it's coming from the wrong, but it's not real, it's coming from the devil to trick you. And so I'm seeing, that's a very, you know, prophecy wars and ministry wars of just, it's just amazing. And I just have to look away. I don't comment back. Since I started this podcast, my focus has been to avoid all that because I'm just not putting that kind of thing on the show. And I just don't have, it's got nothing to do with me. So I just avoid it.
Yeah.
Okay, go ahead.
Go ahead. No, go ahead. Actually, I was just pulling a scripture up for you. I was going to send it to you on this. One of the nice advantages of... Oops. Oh, wait a second. This is with the... I'm using that eSword. I love that program. So you have to read between the Strong's numbers. But I was going to read this one back. That for John came neither eating nor drinking, and they said, he hath a devil. The Son of Man came eating and drinking, and they say, behold, a man gluttonous and a winebibber, a friend of publicans and sinners. But wisdom is justified of her children. And, you know, the thing that's interesting to me about that one, I was just even thinking with what you were talking about there, is that, I mean, truth and the truth of Christ manifests itself through different people in different ways, but it's still the truth. You know, and when Jesus, when he came on the scenes, he came on the scenes one way. John came on the scenes another way. But both times they found fault. You know, I mean, it's and they will always, those that don't have a heart for truth, will always find fault with those that bring the message. Even with Jesus, who was faultless. I mean, they had the biggest problem with him. So, you know, it's not... I mean, for those that are on the side of truth and are seeking truth, you recognize a brother. You recognize a sister in Christ. For those that have a heart for it, and just something witnesses in your soul. Something rings true. Mm-hmm. And, you know, and so it's, for me, I just, you know, I can meet somebody and it's like, wow, this is a truth seeker. This is somebody that loves truth and they're ultimately on the path with Christ. So, I mean, I can't get... bogged down with these people that want me to stay and hang out with them in their whatever it is that they call it. But, you know, I mean, ultimately, you know, people have to hook up with the Father for themselves. They got to know Him for themselves. And if they do, praise God, you know, because if they do, then they'll realize, hey, you're speaking the truth as well. And you're a brother. You're not a, I mean, everybody's trying to take pot shots at the people trying to help them.
Well, yeah, that's right. But I'm just saying that, in this is something I'm observing, and I think what it is, I've got a theory about it, and I believe that there's a perception out there that there's really not a lot to go around, you know, in terms of, let's just say there's a fight for the listeners out there. So if you can, you know, somehow get the other guy and say he's fault or focus in this kind of fight, then it's this tug of war over listeners, you know, who to listen to.
Yeah.
And I see it. I would like to be broadcasting, you know, even on shortwave or, away from the internet, just even live and with some kind of, thing where I didn't have to look at what anyone else is doing at all. But you run into it, and you run into, people that we had as guests, and they have, eventually it comes to some sort of problem, but I realize what the problem is. It seems to be that there's a competition for listeners and some kind of perceived competition, when in fact we are not to compete. We are not to compete for listeners. We are not to compete to see who can, you know, it have the most listeners, be the most popular, or, you know, that's exactly opposite of what we should be doing.
Well, a competition under what end? I mean, so what do you want to do with them? You want to get them all into some building and then have them follow your instructions? I mean,
do you want to, but you know, there are people I know, they contact me, they say, well, so-and-so has contacted me and told me that you were full of it and you were with the devil and you're blah, 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 and then I should listen to him. What should I do? And I say, well, first of all, don't ever write me again. You know, don't listen to my show and leave me alone.
Yeah.
Because, see, this is just baiting.
Yeah.
You know, and so that's something I've noticed. It's I have purposely just tuned out of all that, tuned out of emails, tuned out of the whole thing, and I just kind of do what I do and then leave, and I don't look at the stats. I did for a while, but I quit doing that because I don't want to see. You know, I don't want to know. As long as when the Lord moves me to speak, there's always people there to receive it. And then when I move not to speak, which is just as important as when to speak. That's why we don't have
It is.
Okay, then I notice that works out perfectly as well. And then when I come again to speak, the people are just ready for it just then, but when I was silent, they were not ready for it.
Yeah.
See what I mean? So I'm seeing that rhythm of the Holy Spirit, this kind of rhythm, and that's why we don't have a schedule. That's why I like the podcasting, on the other hand, because it gives you the chance not to be on a schedule.
Yeah, and you know, it's the Spirit of God. He's definitely like the wind, in that he moves us to and fro. And just like in John 3, you can't package us. You know, you can't market us as such in that respect. It's not for sale. So it goes as the Spirit of God wants it. There'll be a time when people are looking for it. They won't find it. You know, and these guys that have commercialized the gospel, they don't have anything there for people, and actually, as people start hurting much more around the world, and they're going to really want that truth, they're going to realize the spiritual lack in most of these people that actually call themselves ministers. So, there's no sense in getting into something with people that you answer a fool according to their folly, and you'd be like them. I mean, that's what Proverbs says. So it's
there's a good one.
I'm just quoting the word. It's like, I mean, and the other aspect of it too is just, it says, you know, but answer a fool, otherwise he'll be wise in his own eyes. So basically just, you know, I mean, it's one of those situations, darn if you do, darn if you don't, you can't, I leave it.
I'm just making an observation. I'm glad that when we left Zephnet, it was because we were moved by the Holy Spirit. You know, I do all things like that. And then when the No Religionistas podcast started up, I was led then to go there, and that's been blessed. you know, thank God I, because not that it's been blessed, but that my listening was correct. Mm-hmm. You know, being sensitive to you know, the Holy Spirit, being sensitive to when to go and when to stop.
Yeah.
You know, and you want me to down Zephnet, Lord? Here, go, push a button, gone. You want me to throw the mixer out the window? You want me to just walk out in the desert and do nothing but eat locust and wild honey? I'm your man. Come on, let's do it. But remember, I'm not young anymore.
Well, and there's a blessing in living like that. I mean, there's a blessing in as long as the main thing in that for me is just as long as I know it's Him. You know, I just not. That was a real blessing to me, Zeph, that when you talked about the chatter and the soul and the
we all need, know, that.
Oh yeah, and you know, but when you just know that it's that voice of the Spirit of God that's leading you and that's directing you, and if you just have that, that's all you need, you know. And I think those two that are ministering the truth in these days, they're really pointing people towards that, and just the respect of, look, you can tune into that for yourself. You can hear and know His voice. And Jesus said, my sheep will know my voice. They won't follow the voice of another. You can know His voice for yourself, and you can trust His voice for yourself. And you can walk out this life in connection with Him on a beautiful adventure. You know, you don't have to have somebody sign up, do anything, actually validate it.
I think weren't you talking to people live in Sri Lanka?
Yeah, you know what we've done, actually, and what I'll give you a little bit of the background of some of these audios. You know, I got this little, I got an Olympus DM-10 is what I use.
Those weren't, pretty, okay.
It's a pretty good recorder, but basically what I started doing was already just involved with different things, so we just recorded the sessions that we're doing anyways, and just we load them up, and it can be anything from, you know, the a lot of the series that we do are in smaller groups, so you'll actually hear people, you know, the questions and the answers and stuff coming back from those guys, and then you know, some of the, like, the sermons and things like that, or the single audios, a lot of those ones are in a lot larger setting. It's a little bit more formal, but
don't you have a microphone there?
Yeah, but you know what I do actually is I got this. It's something just basic, you know. I think it was used to what I have, but I just, it's like a clip one that just kind of goes on my shirt. Most people don't even know I have it.
Yeah,
there,
those are good.
They're from a distance.
Well, I believe in my Shure Beta SM58A, which is a mic that I just plug into my recorder, and this is very durable. I mean, this is a mic you see a lot with news, when people do news conferences. You know, they have it, and of course, live vocals for concerts. It's not really meant to be a studio mic, but I use it in the studio because I'm not going to conform, period. Okay? So, but I could bring this mic. This is like an ongoing joke here on No Religion East. Yeah, I will bring my mic. I tell people, if you'll let me into the church to preach a word to the people, I'll bring my own mic and even a cord if necessary. Or even maybe I can work out a deal with Shure to give me a wireless mic. You know, but you don't have to bother. If you want me to rent my own PA system, I will. I mean, but are you going to have the nerve to have me come in and talk to the people about getting free? We are free.
We'll find a spot for you, Hughesy, if you got to come and if you're going to come speak.
No prophet and no speaker of the Lord is welcome in his own country. So I just figure, okay, I could go to Sri Lanka, but it would go great. I mean, meaning that, you know, I'd talk and, you know, they could ask questions. You know, there would be some fellowship there. It's I do feel, all right, well, this gets to the other thing, because you're like my daughter. You know, I mean, having a dual citizenship. And can go back and forth to the United States. And you have a dual citizenship as well, don't you?
Mm-hmm, that's right.
Okay, so does she. So I know what your rights are. You have as much experience with America and what's going on here as you do in Sri Lanka, which would be called the third world. Mm-hmm. So what are your thoughts about, you know, acceptance of, you know, about the spiritual barometer, I guess, of the United States, of people here, what they want to hear?
Well, I mean, I haven't been back to the States for, it's getting, been probably about 8 months or so since I've been back last. So, I mean, I know a lot of things have changed with the economy and, you know, different things like that. In general, I've noticed that people typically don't, I mean, typically don't seek the Father until things don't work for them in the world. And when the world starts to fall apart, that's when a lot of people start saying, okay,
so should I pray? Well, should I pray for destruction then? Because
well, you know, I think people may not realize this, but actually it's a blessing if you can see it in through God's perspective in that a lot of the difficulties people will face will wake them up. I mean, they'll start questioning. They'll start asking. They'll have to question life as they know it because things didn't work out for them the way that they thought it would. And hopefully, you know, for as many as God has chosen, that it'll be a catalyst for them to actually seek His face. To you know, my hope is that there are those that will present a true gospel and a true message that'll be around and available for them to hear it. And, well, because faith does come by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So there are those people that carry that message. But God can reveal Himself in so many different ways too.
Yeah.
But the barometer in the States. You know, I think it's just what I've noticed is many times when people actually get out of there and they travel a bit, they actually many times realize their own spiritual lack. Their own spiritual need, and that's you know, I think one of the benefits of actually of just getting out a little bit and seeing the rest of the world and realizing there's more beyond the borders of that country. It's an amazing world, and if you believe what's been portrayed on the news and a few other places, you live in a complete illusion. But it's
a bubble.
Really,
I live in Fox News, a Fox News bubble. With Bill O'Reilly, the fascist, telling you, you know, basically what to think about this or that, or throwing people in jail without any rights because he doesn't like them, because they're wackos, according to him. I mean, you know, it's getting at least here to the point of almost, you know, a Nazi Germany, a Stalinist Russia. I mean, it looks like we're on that track, so.
Yeah, well, I do hope and pray that those that have the truth will also rise up at this time in that place and you know, stand for the gospel, stand for what needs to come forward in that nation. I mean,
why is it important for the nation then to seek the truth? Now, truth, when you say truth, I when I hear the word truth, I think the gospel. That's for me, that's truth, and nothing really else is total truth. So why people say, well, you're just pushing your religion. Why don't you leave me alone? I'm an atheist, or I'm a Buddhist, or, you know, and you've got the experience there where you are with other religions, you know, competing for people. Again, competition. So it's become like a spiritual mess. And I suppose the same thing could be said for your country, except that you don't have all the material benefits that I think people in the States have in Sri Lanka. So I would think the spiritual climate there would be much better.
Well, it's much more intense if you could. I mean, even when you fly into Sri Lanka, you feel the intensity of the spiritual activity. I mean, it's right now what's going on in the north and is just a perpetual blood sacrifice. I mean, there's this war is crazy. I mean, what's happening there? I just had a friend who just came back from the north who's ministering up there, and just some of the stuff he was sharing with me. I mean, it's a real mess. So, you know, there's but as far as the climate goes, see, even here, Zeph, you know, actually, the cities, like in the city of Colombo, the bulk of the churches here are spiritually bankrupt in the city. Mm-hmm. You have to kind of get out to the outstation, to the outskirts, to really find people that are, as far as like the churches, by and large, those are the ones where you really see, I mean, the miraculous for them is common. Whereas, you know, kind of even in the city, in a lot of places, especially that have you know, tie-ups with international things and the God Channel or whatever, who else. Those places, they're trying to perpetuate this Babylonian image.
You're talking about the God Channel. Oh my God, I've looked at that, and I have to tell you, I have.
Oh, they have it here now.
Yeah, I've really
exported
been
it.
Upset because they have one false guy after another, and they run Kim Clement, and he prophesies in 2006, you've got to invest because it's going to go through the roof, and all these people lost their money, but they still fill the auditorium when he shows up. Mm. I don't get that. And then that's one guy, Kim Clement, and then there's another guy that was doing these fake healings where there are actually snake oil salesmen, and it's not competition on the internet. They're doing these things called revivals, and they push people over on their back. You know, it's kind of an old-fashioned, you know, going back to the revivals in the early 1900s. And they catch them, and it's like, I couldn't walk, now I can't. You know, and it's, but it's just so cheesy. And it, you can see how it's so fake. I'm not saying that someone couldn't get a healing from a tent revival. They've even done movies mocking it. But here's the God Channel, just full steam ahead on all fronts of Christian fakery.
Yeah. Well, you know, and it's really not that different than Hinduism or than, you know, a lot of... I mean, okay, for example, so many of these religions in the world have to do with you doing something to get something from some deity. So it's like, okay, you know, with Hinduism, you know, with all those different rituals that they do at the temple, ultimately it's to try to curry favor with, you know, some demon, some kind of deity, you know, the 330 million that they have in India. They just want to get something they want to get. And, you know, what's being sold to people in the name of Christianity this day, even in the West, very strongly, is you can get from God. You know, you can hit your lucky numbers if you just, you know, do this. Just come to the meeting. You can get something. You know, pay your this, do this. I mean, and buy your magic sand or oil or water from the River Jordan and or whatever it is that they're hawking. Mm-hmm. And it's the same thing. It's the same manifestation.
I'm sure they had it back at the time after, you know, Jesus' ascension. Like, here's some dirt from the, you know, from the cross. And here's one of the skulls from Golgotha. Here's a piece of bone, you know, from around the bottom of the cross where Jesus had his ascent, you know, where Jesus was crucified. Here's some debris. Here's some, a little plant from the tomb, or a bit of the stone that was rolled away. It scraped against the rock and left some shards, and here's one of them. Wouldn't you like one of those shards?
Well, I mean, there was the whole sale of indulgences in the Dark Ages. I mean, it was the Dark Ages.
So what we want, or what people want, I mean, obviously, is they want a push-button Jesus, a push-button salvation. Because when you look at the world, here's a couple things that are obvious. One, okay, people in general, worldwide, the world system, people, you know, not weirdos like me who had kind of a weird life, but most sort of normal people have agreed. I mean, if my circumstances were different, believe me, I'd be in the world system. I just had bizarre circumstances and I did not get in there. But most people are in there. And, you know, okay, so salvation really is just as much about getting them out of there. You know, while they're alive, you know, not after death, but it has something to do with while you're alive.
Yeah.
You know, in my case, I was interrupted. I had many years taken away from me. And those were the years where, you know, after that, there was no catching up. It was just, you know, I spent a lot of years trying to get going with the world, but, you know, I kept getting blocked, and then I realized now, of course, I was being foolish, and the Lord was blessing me and protecting me.
Yeah.
Because I was one of these people that was like, yeah, let me in, I want success.
Yeah.
But I was...
You know, there's that... John 10. Well, in John 10, you know, where Jesus talks about the thief comes not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy.
Yeah.
And when you look at what does he do? What does he tell people to do? His whole mantra is save your life in this world. And that's how he destroys people. I mean, it's absolutely a paradox. It's absolutely a flip-flop. You know, with the gospel and with the kingdom and with the truth, it's you find it all by losing it all. I mean, you actually find what life is really about by losing it all in Christ.
Well, you know, a kind of a picture of that, if we may, just take the example of Siddhartha, okay? Having lived what you might call a coddled life and not seeing anything negative, you know, I mean, his father could shield all the world from him and keep him innocent. Okay. Yeah. And, I suppose much in the same way someone that has, you know, is retarded would remain innocent. They'd be kept, some of them, in a institutional setting. And they don't see, they're shielded from all that. They don't see it. Yeah. And maybe, you know, at some point, you know, when he could handle the spin, he'd probably tell his son, hey, by the way, you know, but you're not one of those people, you know, we're spit on the poor or something like that. So out he goes and he sees sickness and death and, you know, evil of all sorts. And he's like, we got to do something. You know, he sees the human condition. And so he separates, in other words, he forsakes his life as a rich heir, you know, the highest one in the land, and goes out on the adventure to find the truth. Now, I'm not saying that, I'm using that as a parallel because that's such a great story. The story, this is, I'm going by the Hermann Hesse, the German author. Is he German or Austrian? I don't know, but the German author called Siddhartha, you know, the story of the Buddha. Mm-hmm. And of course, a religion then was founded on this very thing, and people, like you said, they believe they need to go out and do something. Or the ascetics in Hinduism, they go out and they become sannyasins, right? They renounce the world in order to get. So what you're saying, that the thing in Christ is, we renounce the world and we get Christ. Or this process happens just, we go to Christ and we just happen to renounce the world in the process. But it's not, it's more of an internal thing, isn't it? I mean, it's more of a, go ahead.
It's a relationship. I mean, and it's progressional too, in that, you know, when you're following Christ, and actually this goes a little bit in line with the series we're doing, The Path of Life right now, that's on Faith Mix. When you're following Christ, I mean, you begin that journey at some point. But now in John 17:3, now this is eternal life, that they may know you, the one true living God, and your son who sent Jesus Christ. So true life is knowing Him, is in having a relationship with Him, and in having that relationship with Him, you hear His voice, and you hear what He speaks, and what He does is He. In his speaking, he's also leading you and walking you through this life, and he's dealing with you exactly where you're at. So what happens is that, you know, at one point in time, he didn't try to overhaul us overnight. You know, I mean, some things he will work on right away if, you know, maybe he needs to be miraculous with us at some point. But he takes us through a process. And I mean, even today, you know, I was listening, a brother was ministering this evening, and I realized, hey, you know what? There's something that I've taught before that, you know, I was partly along the way, and I need to go back and revisit it because there's more there. So it's just in the process of what we're going through, we're learning, we're developing, we're growing in this relationship. And so, you know, so often too, see, God, He custom makes it for each person's life. And he's, I mean, even with Jesus, he took 30 years before he actually began that ministry. You know, I mean, he spent some time living here, doing different things, going to the temple, questioning the elders and the people that were there. He spent some time learning. He spent some time experiencing life. He went through a lot of different things. And, you know, and he lived out a life of what it was to be human here.
Right.
And so it's just, you know, he could be touched with what we have to deal with. He didn't just show up for a couple of days down across and go back.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, it's clear also that you know, we know and the, really the mystery of the gospel and the mystery of Christ is that he is God. That's the answer to the mystery.
That's true.
And a lot of people say, well, what is this mystery of Christ? And I just tell people, look, it's very simple. It's just he is God, but it still remains a mystery. Because you can't know that unless it's revealed to you.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, but then people say, you know, to the carnal mind, or let's just say to the secular mind, okay? It sounds better. To the secular mind, to a secular individual, you know, or someone just kind of coming into this, they might say, on the one hand, well, we have Yahweh or you know, God or Elohim or, you know, whatever name you want to call God by, you know, Allah, whatever name, you know, the creator, whatever, you know, you call him that. But Jesus we're to emulate, but this, we're supposed to worship the creator because Jesus told us to worship the Father. And he became an example for us. And then I say to people, yes, but he also is God. In other words, yes, he's God giving us an example of how he would like to be worshipped and showing an example in his human limited self, which he created.
Yeah.
But as you enter into this mystery, this relationship, then not only is the mystery, Christ remains a mystery, but it opens up the doors not just to the heart, but to a whole other realm, let's call it. What the scriptures call it, a whole other life waiting for us, which is Christ. A whole different attitude, different heart, different mind, different even to a certain extent DNA, because what the glorified body or the incorruptible body would be a different DNA structure.
Yeah.
So all of that is inherent in this initiation into Christ, but the Gospels also say you must be drawn by the Father to the Son into the mystery. In other words, it's God that does the drawing in of anyone. That's why I never get upset, like if I spend hours talking to someone and it's in one ear and out the other, it doesn't matter to me because I know that I can do nothing on my own anyway.
That's right.
So,
go ahead. Because, I mean, well, for me, I just keep an eye out for anybody that's hungry. You know, I mean, it's, you know, Jackie Pullinger said, you know, a while back, I mean, the gospel is just basically, you know, one man telling another man where to find bread. I mean, it's just, you know, I look for somebody that's hungry for truth. And if you spot them and you'll see it, you know, it's just, hey, here it is. You can share it with them. It's free. What I got from the source. I got it from the bread of life who came down from heaven. Here it is. It's there for you if you want it. All you got to do is just bow your knee before him. Let him be Lord. Let him sit on the throne. You don't have to do it anymore. You don't have to try anymore. You don't have to try to make everything work in this world. You can't do it anyways. So it's just go, just bow your knee before him and ask him, because he will come to somebody like that. He will meet them where they're at. You know, I think it's been made so complicated, and it's not. You know, God made it so simple. I mean, he went through all the hard part. You know, he went through everything, the difficult part, just so that we, in the end, could connect up with him, and then out of that connection, you walk out life. So, you know, and the life that he draws us into, it is an adventure. But, you know, I mean, it is the abundant life that's promised. So it's just, you know, I see how heady it's been made, and how people so often have been bound in so many knots. And I was there too. You know, I mean, I did my church rounds. You know, I did my you know, the upbringing that I was around for a season in time was, you know, if you love God and you really love God, you'll either become a full time, you know, that's the quote unquote, and then there's the whole you know, you'll either be a pastor or a missionary. So, you know, I really love God, so I became a missionary pastor. And the thing about it is, in that process too, I mean, God was in that too, and I learned some things, but in the whole process, the you know, it's like God's put certain gifts in every one of us, and the intention that he has with those gifts is for them to be laid at his feet, and then empowered by him so that he can use those to glorify him. And some people, you've been blessed with an amazing gift in the area of business or in the area of finance, or you have an organizational mind, or you're creative. You've got a gift with music. And with each one of these things, rather than trying to fit it into the box of the establishment that's been presented to you, let God show you how that gift.
Here's your genre. Go now. You fit the box, and it's like, no, I don't have to fit your box, because guess what? I don't want anything from you, because I've got what I want.
Exactly. Yeah,
so I'm good to go. I'm filled up. I'm satisfied. Thanks to Jesus.
Amen.
And that's the thing we're talking about, folks. You're on No Religion Needs with Zeph Daniel, speaking with a very fun guy to talk to, Govinda, and he's very, he's one of the new. I don't want to make you sound too young there, but he's one of the new generation of people that is in the world, not of it, and functioning, and just he's out there doing things, you know, out there moving. Moving this spirit along, and not being in a box of, say, a certain kind of missionary, or having a degree from some divinity school and being, you know, ordained by man as, oh, other humans call you, you know, a pastor. But he's being led by the Holy Spirit on everything he's doing. So he's in ministry. He's also in, you know, involved in the world. Like I say, very much, I think you're kind of a model of, in a sense of what people can have, and I'm sure they look at you and they really feel like, wow, you know, what are you've got going on? You mean you can be in the world, you are getting the more abundant life, you do seem like a happy person. And I know it's not all the time, because I also know when you need I know when you need
we go through. I mean, we
there are ups and downs.
there's times where it's just raw, and it's just, you know, you're getting attacked on every side, and witchcraft's being thrown at you because thing that you put up.
Let's talk about that. All right, let's talk about witchcraft.
Sure.
The reason I say it is because, okay, so a lot of you out there feel like, you know, but Zeph, you're out there, you just say whatever you want to say, and you just don't care. I mean, don't they come after you? And it's like, yes, they do come after me. But when I'm not speaking, they come after me too. Unless I would, you know, they're going to come after you unless and until you bow your knee to them.
Yeah.
That's, or wind up dead.
One thing that you can do that'll help a lot to anybody that's listening in, that you feel like you're getting attacked, is live a holy life. I mean, seriously, if you live a holy life, what happens is, and this is not your list of here's your 10 things you do and you don't do, bring it before the Father, but if you live a holy life, what happens is there's nothing for them to latch onto. So when they're shooting their arrows at you, when they're trying to get their hooks in you, it's water off a duck's back. It's just like, yeah, you'll feel the impact of some things, but it won't stick to you. You'll just walk through all of the stuff that they shoot your way. So, I mean, for people that are listening and you're just like, man, you feel like, just, you know, allow the Father to truly clean you up. Be perfect, even as I am perfect, is what God said. I mean, you can walk this way, and the Spirit of God will give you, if you commit your heart to the truth, if you commit your heart to walking out life with the Spirit of God, and you want this, it has to be a desire of your heart. If you really want to walk with the Father in holiness, He will empower you to be able to do that. If you don't want it, then you won't have it. You'll have the desire of your heart ultimately.
And don't worry too much out there. If you've got an inkling about it, He will draw you. He will call you. He will invade your life. I pray right now in Jesus' name that He invades all of you and just fills all of your hearts and pulls you along and wakes you up. Because a lot of times it's just like waking up from a dream, and then you suddenly realize the truth. And but here's the reaction, Govinda. Then it's like, well, why is everyone throwing stuff at me all of a sudden? I thought this was cool.
Well, part of the reason is because you're your target. I mean, you're on the way out.
Yeah.
You know, they see you walking out.
He's
they see you
away.
Free.
He's getting away.
Yeah.
Get him. Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, it's you. you know, because you become remarkable. I mean, when somebody's remarkable, they want to make a remark about it. They got to say something about it. They gotta do
they call Jesus a Satanist, and they many times, and like I said, many times when they were going to kill me, and I know I came an inch, just a hair from many times from death.
Yeah.
And just because I was naive, very naive, you know, like they say, a lamb to the slaughter. You know, I went to places I shouldn't go. I did things I shouldn't do. But every time I came close to death, it was because I was sinning in a way that opened a door that allowed that to come close to me.
Yeah.
I was doing something that, in other words, I can't just say I'm an innocent victim. I could trace it every single incident of getting in trouble. I could trace to something that I was doing or even thinking. You know, even just being selfish, but beyond being selfish, I mean, whether it was doing drugs or, you know what I mean.
Well, you know something, I people need to understand this too. You know, God's mercy can run out on you. I mean, he said in his word, he said, I'll be merciful to whom I want to have mercy on. And it's just like, and so basically what you got away with yesterday, you might not get away with today. And so, you know, it's just he does protect his own.
I've noticed this correlation, Govinda. This is just crucial. I've noticed this correlation between, and sometimes there's just a test, like we have to resist the devil, you know, just resist and just hold the fort, and it's, and we're feeling pain and we just have to wait till it passes. That mm-hmm. happens all the time, the thing is that if we get into acting out because we're uncomfortable, okay?
Well, yeah, and you know, I mean, you will take shots if you're on the front line. You will take shots you into. I mean, you're in a spiritual battle. This is Ephesians 6. I mean, it is a full-on war.
Yeah, do they know? But most of the lambs, you know, meaning these are just people that didn't even know anything about any of this, that they just felt, they didn't know why they felt bad or left out of things, but... You know, they call them the lambs because they're the lambs to the slaughter, right? Mm-hmm. Until you're in Christ, and then you're the lamb to the slaughter, but you're the lamb on the way to glory.
Like you become a battle to the lambs too.
All right, there's something we can do. I mean, we have the ability through taking not hold of the gospel, just hold the gospel, but we have the power and authority in Christ to not only offer Christ to other people, but to defend the meek, to pray down evil strongholds. And I've noticed this. Every time they try to make you think your prayers don't matter, but whenever it's been me against, say, 100 people in a situation, every time I walk right through it when I just give it all to Jesus. Every time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Oh, 100, batting 1,000.
Yeah.
Because in us is greater than he that's in the world. And that right there should be a big selling point.
Yeah. Well, you know, and even Jesus, you know, he said, you know, no man takes my life from me. You know, I lay it down of my own accord, and the Father's given me that. I can lay it down. I can take it up again. And, you know, God gives, you know, with his people, you will not, if you are walking with Christ, you will not be out of here one moment before the Father has for you to be gone. So you will be here. His angels have charge over you. They will protect you. You will not strike your foot against a stone. You will be provided for. He will take care of your needs. He watches over those that are his.
Yes, yes.
And you have to trust him in that.
Absolutely.
You have to believe him in that, especially now. You know, I think when people's worlds fall apart and they actually, because of by nature of some of the circumstance, they have to start taking God at his word, and they realize, wait a second, his word really does work. He gave it to us for a reason, so that we would know him and that we would trust him in this word. You realize, wait a second, it works. It works. You can follow him. He will take care of you. So, you know, I mean...
You give it all to him and he takes care of you. So,
you know, actually,
or you give it to the mafia boss. The mafia says, look, you know... I'll make a deal you can't refuse. You know, you can't refuse, and I'll take care of you. And you just give me my little piece of the pie, and we'll all be happy.
You know, Zeph, I was thinking of something. My dad was speaking a word recently, and he passed along his greetings to you as well.
And greetings to his brother. It's funny. He and I are the same age. You could actually call me dad, well, but I don't really feel like I'm that much older than you, but apparently I am.
Oh, brothers in Christ. But Zeph, one thing he talked about too, and this is just, you know, I mean, how many people, you know, prayed to have their spleen work today? You know, I mean, yeah. How many people, you know, ask God to for your liver to, you know, take out toxins. I mean, you think about how many things could go wrong, you know, just in your physical body at this moment in time. I mean, and yet how many things we take for granted that we live with, the air that you breathe, the environment that you live in. I mean, so many things are there just so you can even stop and have conscious thought about the situation and even contemplate this thing. And so when you begin to start looking at this a little bit more, you realize, wait a second, how many things God has already taken care of that I don't give him credit for, that I'm not thinking about constantly, whereas he is in control. So then when do we flip and start thinking that he's not in control?
I need some insurance, Govinda. I need some insurance. He might not be there on the day I need him. I better make my best deal with the world while I can. You know, I don't want to be left out, and I want God too. Can I have both?
No.
Hallelujah. You can't.
No, you can't.
James 4:4, man.
Either friendship with the world is enmity with God. I mean, either you trust him or you trust the system of the world. You got two kingdoms. You have one choice. I mean, the scripture even that we put on Faith Makes at the base there is, choose this day whom you will serve. I mean, you make a choice.
Govinda, you work, you get paid, you take filthy lucre from. I mean, how separate do we need to be? And I'm kind of throwing this a little softball toward you because go ahead and hit it.
Well, no, the thing about work is that even for me, I mean, God had to do something with me even in that respect. I mean, he had to put me through about 3 years where I basically, I didn't have much at all, you know. But I mean, but he had to teach me, one, that he'd take care of me, that he'd watch over me, that he really would be my provider, and he's the source. And then from that, and then learning some basic principles too of how he works and how he works with me and how I can trust him. From that then on, it was like, okay, Lord, it's fine. I'm happy being a janitor. I'm happy being I build fences. I will be a minister. I will be a CEO. I don't care. Just as long as you are in that work and you are the one leading and directing that work, and I know it's where you put me, great, fantastic, because that's all I need to know is just that's where you have me. And so what's happened with me, even Zeph with work, is like, I do, you know, contract work. I do different things here and there. Stuff comes up that I never was planning. And, you know, I just check it before the Father. There's been a lot of stuff, Zeph, that I've been offered where the Father says no. And, you know, I remember there was somebody that had a business venture for me. Yeah. And in my natural mind, it was fantastic. It was lucrative. It was great. But I put it before the Lord, because you have Proverbs 3:5-6, which says, you know, trust not in your own understanding. No, lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge the Lord. He will direct your path. And so absolutely, I acknowledge the Lord. I put it before him. I say, Father, what do you think about this? And with that particular one, I remember he gave me a dream, you know, a few nights later, and just showed me what was really going on in the hearts of these people. And I realized when I woke up, it was like, all right, that's a no. Because you know what? It really doesn't matter. What he's, as far as the work goes, listen, God will provide for his people. He will take care of them. But you don't want to get sucked up into some trap.
Railroaded into some place
where you're immobile, and now you can't follow the voice and the leading of the Spirit of God. So for a lot of people, you know, you took something by your own natural thinking, and now you are immobilized. And in order for you to get free, you might have to give that up and actually go with the Spirit of God and go through some growing pains with that. But
I can see how it's a curse for people to be really successful in the world, in a sense, you know, to be very materialistic. And it's easy to see because, say, in the United States, there's this idea that, you know, if you're very materialistic you will be, you know, you'll get the hot chick, or you'll get the, you know, the brass ring, you'll get the raise, you'll have money, you'll be able to do stuff. But it's always kind of dependent upon you not becoming a saint. It, you know, that's a subtle thing inherently in that. And so a lot of these people that are very successful, they just don't look at the possible, or they go to church and they, you know, they give money and they think, okay, so I'm in. And I admit that.
The hot chick is a curse if she doesn't know Jesus. I mean, it's, you need.
I'm just talking about these, you know what I mean. I'm talking about high school. Does anybody really, you know, you got a few geeks with Jesus, but I mean, let's face it, the bad boys get the hot chicks.
Yeah,
the babes.
Sometimes good boys too.
Do they?
Well, yeah, not
did that,
that
happen
often,
to you? Well, you're just good looking. Yes, good looks can also do it, and that's a gift of God, and that's nothing anyone can control. But a lot of these nerds, they want revenge, so they just study real hard, and they, what did I do wrong? Trish is looking at me. I got the hot girl, didn't I?
Oh, Trish is a gem, man.
I know.
Trish is a gem.
Oh, I know. I can't. I mean, they say, if you blow it there, I might die. You know, watch out. You better watch your wife, because a lot of people like her.
Well, it's not just because she's beautiful, more to you.
Yeah.
And you know, when you have somebody that's a partner in life, that's a blessing.
Well, we are partners, and you know, just blessed. And on a number, almost every front, if I went through all the blessings, the fact that there's shelter, the fact that there's food, the fact that there's something for me to do, all these things came after I gave up. I gave up, and all these things were provided, and I kept thinking I had to come strive to get it, you know.
Yeah.
And I strove, or I was striving, and, you know, and not getting, and then they were, you know, the people were saying, well, we can help you to really get, you know, but you're going to have to give something up. And I said, I've always been a man of God. I don't like Satanism. Well, then you're not going to do very well on this planet, are you?
Yeah.
But I don't, but the reason why is because Satan hates me. And he hates everyone that serves him.
Yeah. Yeah, he has no love for anybody.
No. Once you're not useful anymore, boom, there you go. You're spit out. That's not freedom. And by the way, when you are serving him, they have a lockdown military kind of structure, you know, a hive kind of mind where your thoughts are not your own. It's a collective thinking process. I mean, it's horrible slavery.
Yeah.
Why doesn't everybody want Jesus? Look, everyone in Satan's side that I've talked to, you know, secretly, where they try to not let it out, they all say they know Jesus is the Savior. Every single one, no matter what background they have, what religion they are, they all know Jesus. It's almost part of the process of becoming a Satan. You know, I'm talking about a secular Satanist. I'm not talking about somebody with the robes and all the pomp and circum. I'm talking about the secular, everyday, satanic, you know, reality out there. They all know Jesus. They all know that he's the Savior. Now, what do you have to say about that? Why, if they know he's the Savior, why do they continue?
Well, I mean, they've made a choice. You know, I think they pick up front this is that they would rather have something in the world. You know, I think about just even when the Pharisees, when they made a decision about Jesus, you know, and to kill him, they said, look, we got to get rid of this guy because if we don't, the Romans are going to come take our place in our nation. You know, and I mean, ultimately the Romans did, so it didn't work out for them.
Yeah, and then the Romans went down too. But they even know, even Nero knew that Jesus was the one.
Yeah.
You know, the last emperor of Rome. I mean, he knew, and he would burn the Christians in his anger because he felt threatened by Jesus. And that's why he used humans to light the way into Rome. I mean, that's kind of extremely rad to take dead bodies or put them up there alive and then burn them to death, screaming and yelling, to be a light so that people, you know, to be human torches so that people could come into Rome. That's extremely angry at Jesus. That's a guy who believes full out in Jesus. Or why would he do it?
Yeah. Well, Nero didn't live that long either. I mean, see, that's the thing too. All these guys, every one of them, you know, you leave this life and you move on in the direction that you've chosen while you were here. And,
yeah.
You know, it's just, it's to your own hurt. It's to your own demise. Why? You know, there's in Proverbs, it says, a man's own ways destroys his own life. Proverbs 19, yet his heart rages against the Lord. I mean,
that's another great scripture.
Yeah, I mean, it's just people destroy themselves, and yet they get mad at God. And, you know, and so even like, you know, he's not trying to, I mean, God's holding out his hand. He wants to take care of those that will come to him. He wants to bless. Even with Jerusalem, you know, when he was coming in there, he was weeping for Jerusalem because he just said, you know, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, if you just knew, you know, what made for peace. But now it's taken from you. I mean, what makes for peace? It's not raging against God. It's saying, look, I can't do this. I need help. I need a savior. I need a way out. Wait, is there any way? And then God says, yes, there is. Here's Jesus. This is it. This is your way
this
out.
Is the,
this is your way
here's
out
your
of the
ticket.
Cell.
Here's your ticket. What about all the people that died before? Don't worry. They're being ministered to right now. No problem.
Yeah, that's not your issue. Your issue is the state of your soul. I mean, you can have all this debate about everybody that's gone before. Don't worry.
What about all the people going?
Enough.
Yeah,
you'll find out soon enough what happened.
What about all those people going to hell? And I tell people, it's not my pay grade. Sorry, it's above my pay grade. That's not for me to figure out. I don't care how many people are. I just deal with the people right in front of me. Thank God the Lord's put bigger blinders on than I used to have. So I got huge blinders on now. So it's like I deal with the people right in front of me that the Lord wants me to speak to, and he wants me now to speak to you. I mentioned a little bit at the beginning about, you know, competition and people, you know, going around and bad-mouthing other people in the name of Jesus in an effort, and it's all ego competition, creating enemies when there are no enemies. I mean, even the Christian church, which we've, you know, railed against all the churches, all the temples, all the mosques, all the religions of the world that are systematic and they have something to do with supporting the world system because they support the world system. That's why we say something. They all have that in common. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, it's really, you know, can someone see the light in a church? Yeah, sure. They can see it in a Satanist coven. They can see it in a church. They can see it in outer space. They can see it in under the sea. They can see it on a battlefield when the last few seconds of their life passes before them. But one thing that people don't seem to understand, and this has to do with a lot of the secret societies out there, they don't understand that that what Proverbs 15:3. Now we're in Proverbs. You got me going with Proverbs. It says the eyes of the Lord are in every place, beholding the evil and the good. Mm-hmm. He sees everything. You saw it in the end of Ezekiel, where in chapter 9 of Ezekiel, you saw how he had. You know, he punched his hand, or it might be Ezekiel 10, but he punched his hand through, and he could see what the leaders were, the iniquity that was going on at the top. You know, that they were having orgies and worshiping other gods, and he was saying to Ezekiel, you know, I can see all this. I wanted he wanted Ezekiel to see what he could easily see.
Yeah.
He said, this is not being hidden from me.
Well, and you know, and that's another thing, too. I mean, people... do you think that God doesn't see? Do you think that God doesn't know? I mean, he already knew everything that we would ever have done. He knew all of it. And yet he still reaches out his hands to us and says, look, I made another way. But there is a way out, and you don't have to keep going. But for the people that choose the illusion, he knows exactly what you're doing. Everything's laid bare before him, and everything actually for all eternity will be laid bare before everybody. Because when you shift into eternity, you will shift into an external manifestation of your internal reality. So who you are on the inside will be made bare for all to see and know for all eternity. So the real true person that's in you, I mean, the shell that I'm in right now and the shell that people see, that's not the real me. The real me is inside. And that is what is going to be manifest for all eternity. And ultimately, you will know every person for who they truly are. So, I mean, so to play this game and to dress everything up on the outside. Even Jesus, when he talked to the Pharisees, he said, look, you guys are whitewashed sepulchers. You, on the outside, you know, you look good, but on the inside, you're full of dead man's bones. For all eternity, that inside will be manifest to who they really are. That people will know what that is. So, I mean, it's just being honest, Zeph. It's just coming clean. It's just saying, God, all right, you know who I am. You know my heart. You know where I'm coming from. I mean, even like, okay, even these guys bad-mouthing you. All right, if just for whoever's listening in on that side, God knows where you're coming from. God knows you're trying to build your own little fiefdom, and you're trying to acquire some followers behind you because you want to be something in the world by some other manifestation because it didn't work out for you in the world, so you're trying to do it and put Jesus' label on it. He knows where you're coming from. Just knock it off. You know, I mean, just...
You heard it. It didn't come from me this time. It's coming from my brother over there.
It's coming from Sri Lanka. If you want to fly over here and get shot at, go ahead.
I do. But I don't want to get shot at. But.
No. I mean, I'm just saying, look, just be honest with God and be honest with yourself. That's this whole thing is about just come clean. You know, and see, when you realize, all right, I can't do this. I can't make it work. I cannot do this in and of myself. I need a Savior. And God's right there. And he says, look, that's why I came. That's why what I offer you. That's what Jesus is there for. It's like because so you didn't have to pay this price so that you could actually know it for yourself and have truth. You can Amen. Walk it out. Sure. And see, the longer you live in this bitter, angry reality, bitterness just, oh gosh, I mean, it's a curse. The longer that you live in that and the longer you choose that and choose what you perceive as your right to be bitter, your right to be angry, yeah. the longer that you stay in that, you're limiting the life that God offers you. He offers you abundant life and you choose to live in bitterness. You choose to live in a limited reality.
The two are opposites, you know, but Proverbs 20:27, the spirit of man is the candle of the Lord, searching all the inward parts of the belly. I like that one. In other words, he not only sees everything outside, he sees everything inside. In fact, he is the life that he's given you, the life that you have, that we all have. And so what are we going to do with it? You know, and so we've established, you know, he knows everything. He knows your problems. He already knows what you need to pray for before you even pray. He knows what you've done in secret. He knows what you've done out in the open. He knows when you've done things to get a reward, and he knows when you've done something and you've not needed that reward. In other words, you just closed your tongue about it. You know, he knows when you've... He likes that, by the way, when you do that.
Yeah. Oh, it's not. He didn't. It's not that hard, Z. It's God made it simple. I mean, it may not be easy, but it's in the respect that it's just He made it simple. You walk, and He'll lead you through if you just hold on to Him.
Now we were going to talk. I don't have any idea what we're going to talk about because, I mean, just because you're in Sri Lanka doesn't mean we have to have the violence in Sri Lanka. We see it on the news, so I'm not avoiding that issue. It's just that there were other. I believe there are listeners today. I'm just kind of in the spirit here, and I'm just kind of settling in on this that there are listeners here today that needed to, they can hear about the violence and how awful it is. You know, the war that's going on between the various factions. At another time, we'll do another show on that.
Well, and you know, those are periphery issues. I mean, yeah, you know, there's a lot of people suffering. Yes, you know, there is some evil people making a lot of decisions that hurt people here. Yes, you know, there's so much going on. Ultimately, too, you have two kingdoms in operation, the same all over the world. You have the wheat and the tares growing together. And, you know, if you can just focus on the work and the ministry of the Spirit of God and let Him lead and direct you, the rest of it is it'll take care of itself. I mean, I have no idea, you know, how many close calls I've had in my life.
You have.
Throughout. And I have no idea how many because, you know, probably a bunch of them I didn't even realize because I wasn't there. You know, I was walking with the Spirit of God, and had I gone my own way, I probably would have had a different incident. But so I don't worry about it. I'm not going to worry about it. I'm not going to allow that to consume my thoughts because then I'm not trusting Him anymore. So, I mean, He will put you in situations, though, too, where you can be salt and you can be light. He will allow you to go into those things. You know, actually, Zephyr, it's interesting, the song that you were opening this thing up with, I was listening to older podcast with Brother Thomas a while back ago, and this was when you had the old Zephnet up, and the audio there where he was talking about, too, you know, there's going to come a time where you're going to, which we're moving into at that point, where you have to put your body in motion, that God is going to, you know, put people to work, you know, and you're going to have to develop a strong constitution for that work. And this is now, you know, there's a lot of you that have been listening in and stuff. You got to get to work. Mm-hmm. I mean, get to work in the work of the Spirit that He's got. I mean, these broadcasts are great, and they're helping and they're ministering to people, but you can't just keep eating. You got to get up and do something with the food that's in your system.
Yeah, you guys are getting you're fat. Now you listen to Govinda, too, and now you're getting fatter and fatter. And I'm trying to encourage Brother Thomas on top of it. Right now he's happy being a guest, but I also said, you know, maybe once a week you put something out there. It's not hard to do these days with the Internet being what it is. And but I mean, that's where it starts, with maybe some talking and some pep talks and some ministering and sermons, and they still are sermons, even though the other side uses that term. You know, they're crafted by the Lord to they're designed, I think, these talks, they're designed for the people, because so many times, I don't know if this has happened to you, but so many times I've had, you know, a topic I wanted to talk about, and I've had, say, some scriptures I wanted to really, you know, kind of riff on, and I had a whole thing going, and then I turn the microphone on, and that's all out the window. And then someone writes me back, you know, like a day later, and says, that word was exactly what I needed, and it got me through that, whatever it was. And it's like, had I done what I was planning on doing, then that wouldn't have happened.
And Zeph, I want to actually say something. Ting into this thing, you have a responsibility to support the work of this ministry. But I will put that out for other people.
Okay, thank you.
For them to know this, you have a responsibility to help to support the word of the Lord is going forward, where the truth, where God has placed it, to put resource and prayer and everything that you can into that work. And if you have been listening, especially for those and for those that have been benefiting
the
from this,
lurkers,
you know, if you have
the lurkers,
you know, if you have, you know, don't be you know, there's those nodules on the tree, you know, that just soak up, but they don't actually produce anything. I mean, if you are listening, you're receiving something, chip in, you know, do something aside unto the work of the Lord and helping support that, because if you don't, then I mean, what are you asking then in the end? You're asking for people to do this and for them to do it completely without anything and any help and any support from you, but you'll just receive and take whenever you can. So that's not
ugly.
The way to do it.
Yeah, that's ugly.
That's ugly. That's not nice.
And the other thing, I want to make a call for everyone that uses eSword. There's another ministry.
Yeah, eSword, fantastic.
If you've been like me, I've been kind of using eSword for years. I mean, that's my go-to, because it's the best resource there is on the net for the Bible and for Bible study and word study and different versions of the word of the Bible and so forth. Anyway, I owe the guy, and I'm going to, you know, see. So it comes in and it goes around. And when people freely give, freely receive, according to how the Lord leads them, what happens is we all of us, like in the book of Acts, are able to do what we're given to do. But if people hold out and they're stingy, well, you saw what happened to Ananias and Sapphira. Some of you know that story in the book of Acts, where basically Peter said, you know, you're dead, you lied. They held back some of their stuff, and everyone was supposed to throw it in the pot. That was what they were doing at that time. And, you know, give to everybody according to their needs. It would have all worked out. But some held back, and they actually, in this case, got killed over it, because it became a lesson. You know, a lesson of teaching. And I'm not trying to scare anyone, and I'm not saying, you know, you have to do this, and I certainly don't believe in, you know, like, you know, how a church has a tithe where people tithe every, I don't believe in that, you know, 10%. It's like, you know, but I food, and you just keep eating at the free banquet. I don't know. You know, you work it out. But let's say you make quite a bit of money, and then you're getting spiritual food, but you're not flowing Who knows what will happen to you? You know, you heard the parable of the talents. You know, you've been given these talents and you're burying them in the backyard. You're not helping to create a flow, a kingdom, you know, flow going.
Yeah, you know, Zeph, actually tonight one of my brothers that was gave a message on that, I actually heard a message from somebody that didn't have a vested interest in the outcome. And it was, his heart was clean.
Yeah.
In what he was giving forward there. And there is a New Testament. I mean, even into the New Testament, I mean, Jesus does validate some things about it in I think Matthew 13, where he's speaking to the Pharisees, he says you should have done the former without leaving the latter undone, and there is some places for that. But if you look in Old Testament times, before the law was given, Abraham, he gave tithes. After the law was given, they paid tithes. So there was a difference between those two. But then post-fact, when you start getting into the New Testament, throughout, this is something that belonged to God, but it was given to a place, or is given to that which, the place which bore his name, the place which had his name. And in today's day, and see, the problem is today, what you have, the modern day example of the Babylonian church, that's not the place where God's name is. That's not the place where his word is preached. You're supposed to honor the Lord with the first fruit of your increase. Proverbs 3 says that. And the thing is, most of those places dishonor God. So when you actually put resources into that place, you're furthering Satan's kingdom. And so you have to allow for the Spirit of God to lead you. But it's a healthy practice, and it's a good thing to put something aside, and it belongs to the Father. Give it to where the work of the ministry, the true ministry, is taking place. Support that which is the Word of God. Because otherwise, too, what is it, the expectation that's going there? Is that in the end, it's people, in the end, where then, how then does that go forward without the people that are receiving? They're not, you got to put that to work for the sake of those that are in need.
Right now, I'm in the process of making a contribution to eSword through PayPal.
Good man.
No, I'm just oh, good.
Yeah,
no, because
yeah.
I'm just like anybody else. I've been feeding there for quite a while. I realized, my God, this guy's been Rick Myers is his name. This guy's been doing. You know, he's been updating that site. He's been updating the Bibles. This guy has been an incredible servant of
incredible.
Jesus.
And you know, and the thing is, when you go through that pay process there, he says something towards the end when you finish it, less than 1% of the people come back and actually chip in and to say thank you. And you know, when I got to that, I was just like, oh my gosh. Because, I mean, how many people have downloaded that thing?
It's,
and then in the end, how many people?
I repent.
I mean, it's. you get there. But,
okay.
But just, I
would love to give them a huge donation. I'm led to give them a pretty good donation here today. And I just went ahead and clicked the button. I have my receipt from PayPal. And I have, it says, thank you for your financial contribution to this ministry. Your gift is helping to keep eSword available. And that's, I have to tell you, I like my big Bible because it's got big print, but this thing it's absolutely the best. It's being downloaded in 165 countries across 6 continents, eSword. And let's see where it says about, he's kept it free. He's developed eSword, a state-of-the-art study package. It is all of that. Equipped for the task of equipping the saints. It doesn't say. It says Christ, Ephesians 4:12 is his intention. I hope that eSword will help in some small way to spread the gospel to uttermost parts of the earth. Matthew 24:14. Thank you for your. Okay, no, he doesn't say here.
Is it back on the? It might be then back, not the receipt, but maybe on the click-through page on eSword then.
Okay,
I saw it on there.
Let me go back one and see if no. Okay. Well, anyway, so we're helping to create a flow there because And what about the Bible? A lot of people are that are listening in. There's a lot of people Govinda that listen to this broadcast. A lot of new people, and of course, real servants of God. They listen, but. New people that really you know, are around because they think this might be something different because I haven't been taking the same approach of you better do this or else you're going to hell, you know, that sort of thing. I mean, you know, there's plenty of warning within the scriptures, but they know that we use the scriptures and how we use them. And they know that, I think they're getting to know that, that this is how God communicates with us. And they say, well, these scriptures are flawed and there's mistakes in them. And look at these numbers here. And you know, there's sites online. You've probably seen them where, you know, you can tell, you can go through a list to see all the contradictions in them. And how can this be the inerrant word of God? Now, what do we have to say about that? What do you have to say about that?
The inerrant word of God, as far as, say again. So,
well, what I'm saying is we use the Bible, and a lot of people say, well, I have a real problem with the Bible. I really don't believe it's accurate. And I say, well, for me, it's perfectly accurate because this is the book God gave me to communicate through me, through this word. He gives me the Bible in order to communicate to me and have me communicate to others using it. And he hasn't given me any other. I've read all the holy books. I mean, you know, most of them anyway. I've read, you know, for example, the Quran and the, that was a long time ago. I've forgotten most of what I read, but I took, you know, classes in college. I took, you know, the Buddhist sutras, many of the more, you know, the more famous ones, the Tibetan Book of the Dead, some Tibetan writings, you know, books on Taoism and all these things, you know, Confucius, okay.
That's the link there. That's where he says it.
Oh, okay.
I'm sorry. I just sent you the link. It's before you make the donation to eSort where he says that less than 1% of the people.
Okay. I'm going there now. Okay.
Yeah. Less than
1% of the people who download eSort return to say thanks and contribute financially. It is as though, wow, less than 1% return to say thanks.
Yeah. But as far as the but back to the issue of like the Bible being the inerrant word, and see, I mean the scriptures is, I mean it's in spirit, and so if somebody looks at it in a carnal mind, they receive it in a carnal way, and the best they can get is maybe some information, but they can't receive that which is in spirit. There, you have to be, and you have to shift into that dimension of spirit in order for you to be able to even understand. So again, unless God takes the blinders off somebody's eyes, they can't see anything. That's why, too, you can also be reading the scriptures, and you can read something that you've read through maybe 30, 40 times.
Yeah.
And the 41st time, all of a sudden, something will just hit you like a ton of bricks that you've read so many times before, and it'll minister to what's going on with you right now. Why? Because the Spirit of God is in there. So, I mean, for people that... that are not speaking from a vantage point of spirit, you know, I'm, you know, the first thing I do is I check and I say, God, you know, what do you want me to do even in this conversation? Do you even want me to get into this with them? Because sometimes, too, you don't throw your pearls before swine. You don't you don't get baited into that thing. But if it is something, then I can honestly talk with somebody like that. And I can say, okay, if you really want to know, here's the difference, is that this is the dimension of spirit. And, you know, you can't understand this from a natural mind. But if you ask the Father, if you ask Him for yourself, and you go read it, He will speak to you if you're, again, honest, and you just come to Him with an honest heart.
Everything that when we just get into the flow like that, I mean, I can't tell you how many times I've done something like, well, there it goes. You know, I had given something out, and the next thing you know, it comes right back in, only stronger. This is always happening, and you just, when you get into the whole spirit of this, jobs come to people. I've seen just everything just starts flowing, you know, in kingdom, mm-hmm. and it's just a whole other dimension. And really, you can get to the point where you just are in eternity. You are in the kingdom. You do walk in that every day. You eat and sleep that as if, you know, you're not even that much aware of the whatever the Satan's games are. Someone said to me the other day, they said, well, I said, I don't really have much in the way of street smarts in terms of, you know, what they're doing. I have to tell you, I get, you know, my butt kicked quite a bit from just not being a little bit, you know, I had to kind of come up because I, you know, a lot of people, they tell you this, they tell you that. Oh, yeah, you know, hey, buddy, you know, and the next thing you know, the knife's in you. Oh, ouch, you know, and that's happened a lot to me, and I'm starting to get it, you know, but the guy says, well, I wouldn't listen to you unless that was the case. In other words, you're in a different, well, how do you put it? You're in a different realm. You know, you're in a different world. That game, it's trivial. It's got nothing to do with you.
Yeah.
You know, it's not like not having street smarts. It's just that we, it's not that we don't have street smarts. It's that we exist in another world, and that's not necessary. It's not part of the agenda. We don't look at it. We don't deal with it. We have blinders on. We don't care. If you want to be smart, or you think, yeah, oh, I gotcha, and oh, you won the game, or whatever it is, you know, we don't even know if you win or you lose. It doesn't, nothing, we don't see any of it. It's irrelevant.
I mean, if you win in the game of the world, what did you win?
They don't win anything. They just win the opportunity to leapfrog over one guy and then go after another one. And then they just dog eat dog until, you know, they're all dead. That's it. They all lose. It just look at the Shakespeare play Hamlet. I mean, a brilliant, awesome about the human condition. Shakespeare, a lot of Shakespeare's works are awesome. So here's Hamlet, you know, or you know, even Macbeth or any of those great plays, and you'll see that where the game of the world gets them in Hamlet, where it's just total intrigue and deceit and lies and everything else going on, they all get dead in the end. They all attack each other. The way it works.
Yeah.
they all kill each other.
Yeah.
You know, look at the United States. We want to go bomb somebody to make ourselves feel better, and you have everyone walking around in oblivion without any guilt whatsoever. We are killing, how many Iraqis now? Over a million? It's all because of Bush's private agenda, you know, with his PNAC handlers and controllers, and he goes and bombs people. We bomb people all the time. We don't bring peace. We have enemies. We don't have any enemies. We realize there are no such thing as enemies, but the perpetuation of the game requires enemies and killing so the game can go on. So all these people that say they're Christians are all caught up in the game. No real Christian, you know what I'm saying. I mean, I'm not saying if you're a soldier and you have to kill somebody, that's not what I'm talking about. That's a different, I'm talking about creation of wars.
Yeah, you know, I mean, it's interesting because the president of Iran just came over to Sri Lanka this last week.
Yeah, that's what I heard.
I think he dropped $1.9 billion to do this irrigation scheme, and you know, they had some speeches and a power plant and all this stuff. And you know, I mean, he's coming over here to make friends. I mean, he's coming over here to make allies and to establish himself in this region and to get a vote with the UN from. I mean, he's doing more. I mean, there's billboards all over the city.
Right.
You know, this last week of the president of Sri Lanka right next to the president of Iran, and I mean, this guy is coming over here, and is, you know, is doing what he can to make this place an ally. And it's like, you know, it's just, if people in America could stop for a little bit and say, okay, you know, as maybe what once was, I don't know if it still is, but what once was the richest nation in the world, you know, what can you do to bless the life of somebody else? What can you do to help somebody else? What can you do to, I mean, just ask that question. If you reap what you sow, you know, what can you do to help somebody? You know, I mean, forget Sri Lanka. Forget Sri Lanka. Forget all of that. Just what can you do to be a blessing in somebody else's life? Just ask God, you know, because instead of saying, what can I do to protect myself and my poor, pathetic life that I've got here in this world, yourself, you'd probably be liberated. You'd probably feel a lot better tomorrow. And just say, what can you do to bless somebody else's life? How could you actually help somebody?
Yeah, or how could you bless God?
Yeah.
Which is saying the same thing, well, a little more. Yeah, Lord, is there anything I can do to please you? I mean, anything you want me to do at all? And then, and wait for that little voice to come, and, well, he might tell you something horrible, like, you know, that person you just had a huge argument with, go call him up and apologize. I mean, it may be something like that. And you may not want to do it. But, see, there's the battle. The battle goes on within and without. But without, see, I understand, and we're going to do more talks, go into next week, about this problem of really what we're dealing with when we talk about the ego or the problem of the chatter. We're dealing with what happened in the fall. If you really look at it carefully, you'll see that when they became aware that they were naked, that's when shame and guilt came into the world. That's where the chatter started, right there. Self-reflective consciousness. And either eats us alive or we project it onto someone else and go attack them. You know, we have to have enemies in order to be happy. But that's what happened in the garden. It all goes back to that story. It all goes right back there. See, that's what I've been grappling with lately. The very problem of our consciousness.
Yeah.
And why we're slaves. Because we're all born into that slavery.
Well, it's also when Jesus said the kingdom is within. You have to go deeper. You have to go past that layer of conscious chatter, that layer of soul talk, that layer of, I mean, that's a surface layer that you have to go deeper past to get to the voice of the Spirit.
Okay, Govinda, I've kept you over just because you're such a great guest, and I love these Spirit talks, you know. And I love the fact that I know, you know, just from, because I just in the Spirit, I can just see there are people sort of receiving the Spirit off this thing. They're getting free. They're getting geared up to go do something for God. They're getting strength to go out and move, you know, as Brother Thomas talked about. So we hope to just keep this conversation going, whether it's with Brother Thomas, Govinda. No, I want to get Messiah and Dread back on here and some other people. You know, we just kind of go day by day. And I'll just say to you, Govinda, God bless you and your family. I hope one day we'll meet. I feel like I know you even better than people that I actually see with my own eyes, if you know what I mean. I feel like I know you very well here talking to you.
It's mutual.
Okay, well, here we go. I'm going to see if we're going to put on a little track here, and hopefully this will work. This is our alternative. No, it's not working. What have I done wrong? Oh, God. It scared me. Okay, Govinda, stay right there.
All right.
No, don't go anywhere. Stay right there, Govinda. And God bless everyone. And for Govinda and for me and for Trish, I will say farewell for now. Thank you for joining us. This is a little tune called God Verse, which is... you can get it over at SoundClick. I think it's still, it may not still be there, but it was inspired by like angel music, something that I wrote. So I hope you enjoy it, and God bless you, each and every one of you. And I have nothing more to say. It's all been said. Zeph Daniel here. You're on No Religionistas, zephdaniel.podomatic.com, and I'll see you next time. God bless you. Shalom, shalom, and bye for now.